This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Thursday. That was fun last night. In fact, I've already got the official media. You know, the scientist who calls in the show to tell us that the sky is falling, Jeffrey?
Indeed.
We got a tweet from him
last night.
Yeah, saying the sky is it looks beautiful, solid, secure, beautiful. And it sure did last night at FedEx Forum. It's Thursday, so that means, let's see, it means Chris Harrington straight up at 10 o'clock. And it means that we will be playing Writer Then Write Trivia, where, are you trying to rebound from a loss?
Yep.
Was this the spooky version? Was that this?
No, that was. Have I lost two in a row?
Have you lost two in a row?
I need to get Kevin. It shows you where I'm just trying to put it out of my memory. I definitely lost spooky, but I think I lost last week as well.
Wow. It's kind of been a tough year for MUS a little bit. You know, now you got a playoff matchup Friday, right?
Allegedly. 3-7, 4-6. Is that really a playoff game?
It's 3-7. That's, that's y'all.
No, we're 4-6.
You're 4-6.
Correct.
And you're playing 3-7?
Correct. Knoxville Catholic. Now, granted, Knoxville Catholic's
schedule. Are you going to triumph? You can't say no. That's a tough question.
Well, no,
voice of the Owls.
The only common opponent I think we have is Briarcrest, and we beat Briarcrest on Friday convincingly, and Briarcrest beat them by a score, but I have no idea. I have no context. I don't know, did Knoxville Catholic have their quarterback?
Do you have
a sense
of whether Memphis high school football is good this year?
So, I don't know about...
Who's going to win?
So, Houston is the defending state champion. They've taken losses this year, but they were kind of a team last year that, they took some losses early and then they peaked at the end. But I get the sense that probably going to go shut out on titles.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah.
I'm not going to ask you that anymore. Anyway, play Writer Then Write Trivia. Are we waiting on the prize, Jeffrey?
No, indeed. We will have.
Oh, we got the prize.
We'll have tickets to tomorrow night's game against the Wizards, so the home game against the Wizards. Also, we will have 901 Wrestling tickets for the November show. It'll be the final show of 2024 at Minglewood Hall, but of course they'll have more shows coming up in 2025. But it's the final show of 2024 for 901 Wrestling.
So Kevin Cerrito will join us, and you can win tickets to see the Grizz and the Wizards tomorrow night, and 901 Wrestling as well. That's all in the second hour. We got an NFL game tonight, all sorts of things going on. See, the Pink Palace was renamed the Pink Palace.
Oh, we're going back? So it's almost like we should have maybe kept it the whole time.
You know, it's MOSH?
MOSH, so I think it's the...
Is it MOSH?
Museums of Science and History.
Yeah, so, and they were a little...
They were trying to brand, it was like multiple museums.
I do understand why, if you are not from here, and you move to the city, or you're passing through, it doesn't occur to you, if you want to go see a museum, that the place, Pink, what the hell is that? Right. What does Pink Palace mean? That is it's a little bit of a confusing name for a museum. So I actually understood the instinct to change it. You never did.
No, because when you look up idea of if you're a tourist, whatnot, if you want to look up museums, you would find that on the internet and it would tell you the Pink Palace.
Yeah. And this just MOSH,
and it's an iconic name.
MOSH never made sense. I mean, I don't know a damn thing about branding. Talk to my brother, Tim, who teaches branding at Northwestern. But it was MOSH. That's M-O.
You only rebrand when you have a scandal.
And then capital S, capital H for Memphis Museums of Science and History. Now, just so you know, they were clarifying. Because they didn't, you don't want to make a mistake. So they're saying the umbrella organization is still called MOSH. But the specific complex is the Pink Palace Museum and Mansion. The same goes for the other Mosh. Do you know what the other Mosh attractions are?
So is isn't the Central Library?
Then it's not Mosh.
I keep driving
the Lichterman Nature Center is Mosh, and the Mallory Neely House is Mosh.
Shout out
to
Mallory.
So Kevin Thompson, who's like, this is tell your, what is it? Tell your story.
Tell your story.
Yeah, exactly. Kevin Thompson says, that's really what we're trying to do is really evolve the brand. Mm. First, we had to put put a stake in the ground and get the name recognition out there for Mosh and what it is.
Mission accomplished.
And now we're starting to add the nuance of, okay, put the locations back in so we can be very specific about who we are. And it's very strategic from our standpoint. Of course it is. Of course it is.
There's so much.
I get it. Now, we talked about Ron Olson yesterday and his pranks. Once he did I find it hard to believe anyone would have believed this. He said Pink Palace was going to be a strip joint.
Mm.
Pink Palace. You can see it.
No,
right?
Yeah.
It does. You can see how it would be, how it would accommodate that name. But there you go. Anyway, I think that's probably enough about that. Grizz win. They beat the Lakers. That's always fun. Jeffrey, I'm not saying the Lakers were listening to our show yesterday. But
we don't know that they weren't.
And I think our logic, the logic that we offered for having Anthony Davis sit out was ironclad.
100%.
There was no need to risk that. So maybe on the team bus, whatever, there's not really that much of a team. From the hotel, from the airport.
They
listen to the podcast. You can catch us on podcast form.
They can listen on demand on the Odyssey app.
Oh, goodness. It's his foot. He's a large... These two are right. Like we should probably.
One of them definitely is.
It's a long season, and we should probably sit him. And so they did. They sat him. Plus, as an extra added bonus, they sat Rui. Now he's a Grizz killer in the truest sense, because like some players who are Grizz killers, they're awesome against everybody, right? But Rui does not fit in that category.
No.
He's a true Grizz killer, elevates his game against the Grizz. No Rui either. Taylor Jenkins, thinking of the Jenkins family, there was a death in the family, so he wasn't there either. But what unfolded was a wildly entertaining night as the Grizzlies defeat the Lakers 131-114. And what the hell? Let's fire up the highlights. I'm going to start, Jeffrey, by asking you this question. Who, as you watch this unfold, who impressed you the most? Like, who struck you the most? Whose performance was most striking to you?
LeBron and Ja.
Yes, that's the obvious answer, right? I mean, LeBron was ridiculous.
Yes.
The dude is unbelievable, and he just plays minute after minute after minute after minute, and he's dropping in threes. I mean, we talked about this yesterday. You still want to see one of the greatest to ever play. And last night was perfect because you got to see one of the greatest who's ever played put on a show and your team won. You got to fully enjoy the greatness of LeBron and your team won and got into it with Ja.
Yeah.
So that was clearly, and we'll get to that moment in a minute. But beyond those two, the player who struck me the most, it was this guy. It's coming, ladies and gentlemen.
Crazy.
Any minute now.
LeBron James can't believe it. Rebounded by Aldama to Morant. Lead out for Wells. Wells to the rim, lays it up and in. Morant with two quick assists. Great run of the floor by Wells and a beautiful long lead out pass for Ja Morant.
All in all, this is a half-court team talking about the Lakers. So, again, you want to try to push the pace and control tempo.
The idea that Jalen Wells, second-round pick for a contender, is starting against the Lakers, scoring 20 points on 7 of 10 from the field 5 of 7 from 3. Holy smokes. I just can only imagine, 21 years old, that I would be intimidated playing against LeBron. He hit 1-3, and we may have it in the highlights here. I haven't broken down which highlights we're showing. We're listening to audio. He dropped one in right over LeBron.
Yeah.
Just incredibly impressive. Anyway, here's the aforementioned Ja.
You can make contact if you don't break the plane of verticality, they say. Reeves, left side of the lane at Edie, tried to feed to the baseline, connect, intercepted by Aldama. Ahead to Morant. Morant attacks in on Russell, shoves him out of the way, lays it up and lays it in. And Morant lays it up, and he is hot. He's still hollering at the officials, but he gets the bucket, and the Grizzlies lead 10-4.
Turnover, good aggressive move by Ja.
Ja was hot from the very beginning and only got hotter. Here's Santi.
Aldama, hands for Huff. Pump fakes a three. Kicks back to Aldama, right corner, triple to answer. Ring it up. Put three on the board for Santi Aldama.
And that's just good basketball. You have to respect Huff's ability to knock down three-point shots. So he was able to put the basketball on the floor and get Santi in the corner.
Obviously, Ja gets hurt. We'll talk more about that in a little bit. But another one of the promising things about Ja last night was he was hitting from three.
Contested Jackson Hayes shot. Ja Morant, a step back three over LeBron James is good. Ring it up. Put three on the board. Morant pushes the lead back to six. He's got 5 points in the first.
Here's a nice lob from Scottie Pippen Jr.
Reddish overplays the pass. Pippen in the backcourt. Reddish trailing. Lobs to the rim. There's Clark for a two-handed alley-oop flush. Pippen was looking back at Reddish and kind of lulled the defense to sleep. Clark broke to the rim. Pippen saw him the entire time and gets the assist.
Grizzlies had 7 players in double figures. Brandon Clark was not one of them. In fact, if you had asked me, like, what Grizz struggled last night? Like, Brandon Clark had a bunch of the shots that he always hits inside that he did not. 2 of 6 from the field for Brandon Clark, but could not miss that one. Here's 3 from Jaren Jackson Jr.
3-on-3, Laravia. Now the Lakers get back. Hits the trailer, Jaren Jackson. Straightaway 3. Ring it up. Put 3 on the board. It's a 3-on-3 fast break. Laravia slowed it up as the Lakers got back. Jackson trailed the play and buries the triple.
Yeah, just smart play by Laravia. Being patient offensively, Eric, letting that play develop. Jaren, knock it down to 3.
Aldama left wing, works it in on Max Christie, feeds for Kennard. Got deflected by James, picked up by Jaren Jackson. He comes in on Jackson Hayes. Banks it up and in around the block attempt. Hayes did a good job staying straight up. Jackson finished the play anyway. He's got 9.
Yeah, good finish by Jaren Jackson. Offensively, I still think they're stale offensively, so you want more people moving and more balls moving.
He's pressured by Hayes. Drops it off for Jaren Jackson. 10 on the shot clock. He's going to work it in on the smaller Cam Reddish. Jackson in the lane. Reddish tried to pull the chair. Jackson had the balance. Gathers the ball and dunks with 2 hands. From the right block, Reddish tried the old pull the chair so Jackson would fall. Too much coordination for Jaren Jackson Jr. He's got 11.
Yeah, that's great patience.
Jaren just looked really good last night. Good, in control, efficient. Brevin's constantly saying, feed Jaren more.
Yep.
Like, they didn't have anyone who could handle him. LeBron did a decent job on him, but otherwise, I mean, on that one, it was Cam Reddish. Like, he was bullying people, and then he's got the soft touch. Jaren was 8 of 13 from the field. Here's Santi.
Edie backstaps the rebound. Aldama grabs it. Behind the back flip to Edie. Spins in the lane. Turnaround right-handed hook. No good. Follow jam by Aldama. And that is your shot nurse shot of the game. Aldama, a 2-foot vertical jump, just thumps it down with 1 hand, and the Grizzlies lead by 6.
Good job staying on the offensive glass.
Okay, so the shot nurse shot of the game. When you're Eric, you got to know when to, like, that was a, but there would have been others that came. Like, how do you know? I think that's a difficult decision for Eric. At what point do you pronounce it the Shatner's shot of the game? Because I think the Shatner's shot of the game could have been Jay Huff's reverse dunk.
What if you have to announce it in the first half?
Or do they have to do the Shatner's?
I'm just saying, I don't know.
I don't know. What was the Shatner's shot of the game?
I think it was the Jay Huff.
I think it was the Jay Huff stuff. Hope we have it. Anyway, I'm not criticizing Eric. Like, difficult job. It's a little bit like the Pete Pranica, when to say hammer, nail, coffin. Well, that's a little easier. You don't want to overshoot that. You don't want to be prematurely shooting, hammering, nailing, and coffining.
For sure.
But and he never has. I did notice, like, there was a, like, okay, that was it. That was it for Pete. But Eric's got to pick the whole shot in our shot of the game before he knows what other shots are going to come.
Correct.
And yet if you wait for the better shot to come and it doesn't come, then you've got no shot in our shot of the game.
I'll ask him this afternoon.
Yeah, do that.
I'll ask him the mechanics.
Here's Jay Wells. With a, it wasn't the shot in our shot of the game, but it was a three.
Wells, the right sideline three, back the other way is good. Ring it up. Put three on the board for Jalen Wells. And the Grizzlies lead back up to five, 49-44. The rookie bouncing back after a six-point performance Monday night. Already has seven in the first half.
Yeah, like I said, couldn't have been more impressed. Here's Ja.
Down, good defense by Brandon Clark. Jackson clears the miss for Morant. Morant, a no look to LaRavia underneath, who jams with two hands. The joggles are out for Ja Morant. Beautiful feed. LaRavia the recipient.
Yeah, fantastic play, pass by Ja.
How about Jake's night, though?
Yeah.
13 points, 8 assists, 5 rebounds, 6 of 11 from the field, 29 minutes.
He was making things happen.
He really is. He makes things happen all across the board. Here's Jeff.
Slows down, high right post. Into the lane, working on Gabe Vincent. Goes up with a turnaround, left-handed floater that's good. He'll get the bucket, and he'll get one more. Tough shot for Ja Morant. He's in double figures with 10, and he'll go to the line for an extra one here. Yeah. Grizzlies back up 6.
Yeah, and now, again, tough shot. Ja was really patient that time. He knew he had Gabe Vincent on him. Eric just took his time, backed him down, and was still able to finish with the left hand.
Yeah, we're not going to get the back and forth between Ja and LeBron, but that was a hell of a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah.
So Ja throws the two small after that one, and then they come right back down, and LeBron bullies Ja, who, let's be clear, relative to LeBron, is too small.
Yes.
And LeBron hits him right back.
He actually
back.
Might be the definition of too small if the comparison is LeBron James.
Yeah, exactly. He literally is too small. And so then Ja comes back, scores again, and then he goes right at LeBron, bumps him, and draws the T. That was just...
And crowd went bananas.
That was just great stuff. And afterwards, Josh says, echoing Memphis fans everywhere, I hate them. I don't like them. Does not like the Lakers. Does not like the Lakers fans in the building. And I really think, in the end, the Lakers clowned them in the playoffs.
I 100%
I mean, he talked about last year and whatever else,
no,
and how he couldn't play. They clowned him in the playoffs. And that must have been humiliating. I mean, you got clowned. Now, mind you, it was Dylan who set you up to get clowned. But then you got blown out.
Yeah.
They made you, well, you made you look bad, and they made you look bad, and you got clowned, and so of course he hates them, as well he should. Cosign. Anyway, where are we? Play something else.
How about another Ja Morant 3?
Let's do a Ja Morant 3.
And it goes out to Aldama. It's Aldama, Jackson, Edie, Morant, and Wells for the Grizz. Morant steps into a straightaway three. Ring it up. Put three on the board. A nice feed by Aldama. Morant trailing the play. Gets the triple. He's got 16. Grizzlies back up by 8.
And good play by Santi that time. Ja did a good job of sliding Eric when Santi penetrated.
You know, I'm pretty discerning, Jeffrey. There's a theme that is going to emerge over the next 5 highlights that we are going to play. Let's play them and see if the listeners can detect the theme.
Jackson shovels to Aldama. Cross-court feed Wells. Wells with James in front of him. Launches the three. Ring it up. Put three on the board. And LeBron James taps him and says, nice shot, young fella. Love it. Jalen Wells in double figures with 10. Morant to the left wing for Wells. Rhythm left wing three for the rookie. Ring it up. Put three more on the board. Jalen Wells with his third triple has 13 points and a timeout taken by the Lakers. Morant picks up the assist. Grizzlies up by their largest margin of 11. 7 minutes remain, third quarter, 72-68. LaRavia cutting baseline. Kicks right corner, Jay Huff. Open three. Ring it up. Put three on the board for Jay Huff.
And again, guys have to be ready. Ja Morant is making great decisions that time. Jake LaRavia cutting back door. That time he didn't was able to find Huff in the opposite corner.
Grizzlies on a breakout. Aldama left wing. Aldama drives. Kicks left corner, Huff. Open three. Ring it up. Put three on the board. Jay Huff with 2 triples in the third. And J.J. Redick is red hot. Clearly, Morant drives, kicks right corner, Huff. Another three for Jay Huff. Same result. Three triples. Two from the right corner, one from the left. Jay Huff with nine in the third, all from three.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. Jeffrey, I'm warming you up for right of the night trivia. Have you been able to detect the theme of the last five buckets?
Jeff, what is 5 3-pointers?
That's exactly right. They were dropping them in from three. In the second half, Grizz were 12 of 16 from three. 12 of 16 from three. For the game, they were 17 of 34 from three. But I am going to now, retroactively, play the new. We've had review. We've had a period of review. We've gone back to look at the tape. This is the Shot Nurse shot of the game. With all due respect to Eric, this is the Shot Nurse shot of the game.
Morant, left wing, Pippen. Pippen gets by his defender. Back to Aldama. Left wing three. Catch and shoot. Ball never came down.
Oh!
Huff grabs it off the rim and reverse jams it. And mixed a sea of purple jerseys. Jay Huff the follow jam. Jay Vincent back the other way is fouled.
Yeah, the Huff stuff. That was absolutely magnificent. And Huff had 11. Scottie Pippen Jr. had 14. Both formerly of the Lakers, the Laker revenge game. We mentioned Jake LaRavia. Here he is hitting a three. He should do this more often.
89-79, Grizzlies by 10. Pippen crosses over at Vincent. Kicks to LaRavia. Open three. Ring it up. Put three on the board. Scottie Pippen said, if you're not going to call it, I'm going to shoulder into Vincent, create some space, and he found LaRavia wide open.
And those are shots LaRavia is going to have to make. I mean, that's a great shot, great pass by Pippen, great shot by LaRavia.
Elliot and I were thinking the same thing. Do that more often. Let's play the next two.
89-79, Grizzlies. They'll get it to start the fourth. Jackson out to Kennard, two on the shot clock. Cross-court feed Pippen. He'll launch the three at the horn. Ring it up. Put three on the board. Scottie Pippen Jr. with the three, 95-81. And the Lakers, who love to give that ice water in the veins symbol, Pippen does it to the Laker bench. They have not had a game this year below 100 points. Now a steal here for Scottie Pippen as Gabe Vincent turns it over. To the right sideline, Kennard. Three on the way. Here is the day is long for Luke Kennard. Welcome back, Luke Kennard. First triple of the season.
Yeah, and you can count that. In transition, Eric, when he has a clear look at the basket, more than likely he's going to knock those shots down. Good
Forget
foul.
About it. Yeah.
Luke played 18 minutes, 2 of 4. He was 1 of 2 from 3, so nice to have another Luke Kennard three-pointer. It was a night that had a lot of good stuff in it, a lot of good stuff.
It was
stuff
a fun night.
Including Luke coming back. This could have been in competition. I'm not saying this is the shot in the shot of the game. I'm sticking to this Huff stuff, but pretty nice dunk here from Santi Aldama.
Left wing three for James is no good. Rebound grab by Kennard. Kennard up ahead, Aldama. Aldama goes to the basket.
Oh!
Two-handed hammer. Give him a double-double off a double-clutch jam. 109-87. Grizzlies are cooking. 7:34 remaining in the ballgame. They're trying to blow out the Lakers here tonight in Memphis.
When you got the oh from Elliott, you know you've done something. Let's roll the rest.
Pippen drives, drops it off for LaRavia. LaRavia back out top. Pippen launches a straightaway three. Ring it up. Put three on the board. Scottie Pippen Jr. in double figures with 12.
Yeah, just great spacing and patience too, Eric. They're moving the basketball but taking quality shots.
Pippen gets the steal for the trailer, LaRavia. LaRavia goes to the bucket. He hangs in the air. Right corner, Wells launches a three. Ring it up. Put three on the board. Crowd's going to eat that one up. And Jalen Wells with another big night in the start. The rookie out of Washington State. Left wing feed for Wells. Wells drives, puts on the brakes, launches a three to beat the shot clock buzzer. Oh, stop it, Jalen Wells. What a shot for the rookie on the step back three. Ring it up. Put three on the board. 20 for Jalen Wells tonight.
Young man can hoop.
And by stop it, he means don't stop it. Grizz win 131 to 114. The players in double figures, Jaren with 20, Santi with 11, Wells with 20, Morant with 20, LaRavia with 13, Huff with 11, Scottie Pippen Jr. with 14. It was a hell of a performance. And we did not get in there, for example. Another fabulous moment was when Scottie Pippen Jr. ripped the ball away from LeBron. That was fabulous. Afterwards, Dez interrupts the post-game interview to say he snatched the ball from that old man there. And so that was entertaining. You do get the sense that the Grizzlies, broadly speaking, not just Ja, not big fans of the Lakers. Let's see some other numbers from the game. Season high, 131 points. Grizzlies outscored the Lakers in the paint, 60-44. Bench outscored the Lakers bench, 52-33. As we said, LeBron was absolutely magnificent, but it was not enough. And Ja and the Grizzlies get the win. You know who wasn't magnificent?
Who's that, Jeff?
Dalton Knecht.
No, he was not.
He was not. Rick Barnes was there. Get the F out of here. Mm-hmm. Rick Barnes was there. Dalton Knecht. Honestly, I just didn't understand whatever. People have off nights, right? But he was missing badly.
Yeah, he had one shot that went off the side of the backboard.
Yeah, it was one of seven. All seven were from three. Not a particularly distinguished effort by Dalton Knecht. In fact, without AD, they're so top heavy, that team.
Yeah.
Without AD, they're ugh. And so now Grizz are 5-4, and there is concern, at least some.
We also forgot to mention Yuki's first points.
Not you're exactly right. I didn't mention, because at the beginning of the game, you got the Ja LeBron face-off. Later in the game, Bronny Yuki.
Yeah.
Bronny goes to the
Many
line.
Many are saying it's going to take over the league.
Many are saying Bronny versus Yuki going to take over the lead. Yuki did get his first points from the line. And after the game, Jake LaRavia was careful to grab the game ball. Drew Hill, who covers the team for the Daily Memphian, says that Yuki didn't really understand the game ball thing. He doesn't, in Japan, they don't do necessarily the game ball. But Jake LaRavia grabbed the game ball, first points in the NBA, all the players, all the teammates signed it, and gave it to Yuki. So we had that. We had the Bronny-Yuki face-off late in the game. We had the LeBron-Ja face-off early in the game. We had everything. We had the revenge game for Scottie Pippen Jr., for Jay Huff. The sky is indeed not falling. It looks great. There is this small concern, at least, about Ja Morant and his health. He obviously, this is the problem when you play 37 feet off the floor.
Yep.
Right? And that looked like a hard foul to me. Takes a tumble, and Drew said he was limping around a little bit in the locker room afterwards, said, "I'm fine." When asked whether he would play tomorrow night, said, "We'll see," and said, "You should follow the Grizzlies social media PR account for the update." It's the Wizards. I will be surprised if he plays.
I think that's probably correct.
Now, again, they've lost games already to Brooklyn. They've lost games to the Bulls. But given that the Grizzlies are cautious, whether it's appropriately so or whether you think it's not, if you are going to that game tomorrow night counting on seeing Ja, I think...
Proceed with caution.
You never know.
Yeah.
I mean, again, how he responds today, but it would not surprise me if that's one that he sits out.
I would agree.
Knock on everything, my worry level is not high.
Yeah,
it's Ja Morant.
And there's always just nagging hamstring, but yeah, I agree.
So that was fun. You also had Castleton, who got into the game for his minutes against against the Lakers. I don't know if there's anything else I missed, but it was a fun night. It had literally everything you could have wanted. Grizz win, Josh show, LeBron looking great, Yuki, the whole deal. Career high for Jalen. I mean, it was a terrific night at FedEx Forum. All right, we have Chris Harrington is going to join us to talk about that and more in the NBA, including the Warriors going into Boston last night, beating the Celtics. Warriors are 7-1. And so that's a little bit of a surprising and impressive start for the Warriors. We'll talk to him about that. We'll talk to him about the Grizzlies. Again, we have Right It and Right Trivia in the second hour. We're giving away two tickets to tomorrow night's game.
Correct. And also we will have
the 901 wrestling.
And we will also have now four tickets to the Landers Center game between Mississippi State and Utah. I believe that's on the 17th.
The prize just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger.
November 17th.
We'll play Righter Than Right trivia in the second hour. I will tell you, this would be a great weekend to get to Oak Hall. Get in there and get some beautiful outerwear. I've told you before about my Peter Millar quilted jacket that I have, that I bought one for me. I bought one for my son, Ben, and I bought one for my brother, Ben. They're absolutely perfect. They're elegant. They're warm, comfortable, just fabulous. And then I have another down jacket that I got that's Steo. Steo is this manufacturer that I don't have at any other outlet, certainly in Memphis. It's one of the few in the country. Just beautiful, beautiful outerwear. It's the holiday season coming up, and so that's a fun season to get into Oak Hall, period. And we'll be talking more about that as the season draws closer. But the clothes are spectacular. The people are the secret sauce. And right now they still have, in collegiate colors, official colors of your favorite team, whether it's Tennessee or Arkansas or Alabama or the University of Memphis or Ole Miss. They've got quarter zips and hoodies in the official colors of your teams. Basically everything. We're lucky to have one of the great clothing stores in this country right here in Memphis, Tennessee. Take a break. Back in a moment. Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN. If you are looking for a new financial institution, I'd suggest you look at Leaders Credit Union. That's what Claire and I did, opened a new account at the Bartlett branch. They've got one in Arlington as well. But you can just download the app. They got unbelievably great technology, unbelievably great service. What sold me, honestly, was this idea that they exist purely for the benefit of their members. Like every month, every dollar they earn goes back into better technology, better service, better rates. It seemed persuasive to me, and our experience with them so far has been fabulous. So whether you are looking for a new car loan or a new home loan, or you're just fed up with your bank, try Leaders Credit Union, leaderscu.com/ESPN. Jeffrey, let's play Believe It or Not. You feel better about Tiger Hoops after watching them beat Missouri?
I'm going to say I don't believe it, but I don't believe it in the negative. Like, I'm neutral.
Feel neither better nor worse.
Correct. I think this team has the ability to guard pretty well. I still don't think it's going to be a great offensive team, but I've seen what I've needed to see that this team makes more sense for Penny.
I feel marginally better just because what they were in theory, I've now seen some evidence of.
Right.
I never thought they were going to be great offensively. We're going to light it up. We're going to whatever. But the idea was they would be this much better defensive team, gritty team, all of that. And against North Carolina and Alabama, it was, you know, hard to know if that was right or not, because the incidents of them feel looking like that happened in the second half of meaningless games, like whatever. Were they really gritty and better and resilient? So having seen at least some evidence of it, I feel marginally better. Because before it was theoretical, and now I say, oh yeah, that's what they could look like. Again, there will be talent limitations, I think, shooting limitations. Kind of amazing. There was an interesting piece on Cal in The Athletic. And they were talking about how, like, even last year, he had a great three-point shooting team at Kentucky.
Yeah.
They still didn't shoot a lot of three-pointers.
No.
It's kind of, to build a team in either pro or college basketball that isn't built around three-point shooting, why would you do that anymore? You know what I mean? And yet, very clearly, this isn't. Like, Penny has not bought into that theory. We need shooters, right? And that is sort of the modern way of basketball. So
I think the problem is in college basketball, most of your great shooters are usually not, like, they're usually like specialists. Whereas in the NBA, it's like everybody can shoot.
The other interesting thing in that piece was, it was a really interesting piece, Cal being Cal in so many ways, but they were planning a massive, and maybe you knew this, they were planning a massive renovation of the arena there.
At Fayetteville?
Yeah.
Yeah, Bud One.
And Cal said no.
Well, I mean, almost everybody's doing this right now.
Because these are the money.
All the money projects.
They said, screw that. The money is going into...
That's one of the theories for why we haven't seen coaching carousel craziness, is that everybody knows in April they're going to have to start paying the house settlement.
Right. Cal just very clear. Like, and what is interesting, by the way, is this is the way it should be. Like, once upon a time, I remember GP telling a story about, I guess it was at UCLA. They had one practice facility, and then they built another practice facility. And here was the point. All this money was pouring into universities. You can't pay the players, once upon a time. And so, there aren't stockholders.
And you know, you're not giving out dividends. Also, as the way that they're organized, you have to spend the money.
You have to spend, and you're not going to, for God forbid, give it to the academic side. Come on. Let's be serious.
That's not what
here.
The money was earned for.
So what are we going to do with this money? We're going to pay coaches more and more and more, and we're going to build massive facilities. Like, we're going to have massive facilities. Every facility is more spectacular than the next. Well, now what's happening is the money that's coming in, it's going to the people who earn the money, the players. Now, I'm with you folks who have said that this current system is ruining college sports. It's not really ruined. Look at college football. Is it ruined, Jeffrey? Is college football ruined?
It hasn't ruined game day.
It hasn't ruined game day. But I agree. It is. It's really disruptive and unappealing, and I think counterproductive the way that it unfolds. I don't think the fact of the money going to players is what is unproductive and unappealing. The combination of the money, the portal, that everyone's free to leave at any minute, but that can be fixed in a snap. All you have to do is give players employment contracts. And by the way, people will sometimes say to me, what do you mean? They've got contracts now. No, this is what the contracts look like now. Now you will have a contract that'll say this player can get $700,000 and they have to do this many appearances to earn their $700,000, right?
You know what I mean.
It doesn't say this player commits to play for this university for the next 2 years and will not play anywhere else in exchange for the $700,000. These are contracts for endorsement deals. They're not employment contracts. If they were employment contracts, you couldn't be jumping from one place to another. Just like right now, Ja couldn't say, not that he would, he hates the Lakers, I want to go play for the Lakers tomorrow. That's the difference, because he has an employment contract. In college sports, there are not employment contracts. Anyway, I digress. It is kind of amazing. Cal came in immediately and said, shot that down and said, we're going to get the money where it belongs to the players. Okay, next one. Ryan Silverfield, really, for his own sanity, for his own future, and for the future of Memphis football, he should look for a different job this offseason.
I don't believe that, because I think he's got the best job he's going to get.
Is it the best job?
Of the ones that would come up?
Is it the best job if people are miserable about it?
Yeah, because, I mean, when you think about it in these terms, he's still extremely likely to get the extension, the automatic extension. So, I mean, there's like, I don't know, 10 million reasons that this is the best job? Like, the other jobs you can go get are going to be, like, right, like at best, what he's taking a lateral move, and I don't even know what that would be.
Yeah, I honestly agree with you. Like, the worst thing that will happen with Ryan Silverfield is, and I'm not saying this will happen, but I'm just saying the worst thing that will happen is he will have a bad year next year, right?
Yep.
And then he'll get canned. Right, the people will be so unhappy with him. He'll have a bad year next year. There's already not going to be a lot of enthusiasm for Ryan headed, and then he'll finally have a year that justifies doing what Jason Smith says he wants to do right now. Which
and
is
I,
buying
and
him
by
out.
The way, I doubt they do that.
And if they do, whatever. He's going to take money and he's going to get paid and
correct.
Then he's going to go get the same job that he could get now. He's
right.
not going to be in high demand for a better paying job. Sure, if he were offered a better paying job, he should take it.
Well, and the other thing is his specialty is offensive line, and it's not like people are going to go pay $2 million for an offensive line coach. Like we've seen other coaches leave for like coordinator
I'm talking
jobs.
About head coaching jobs.
Yeah, but I'm saying like, well, I mean, we saw Chip Kelly leave UCLA to be Ohio State. Like, I'm even considering
you're saying,
this, but like offensive line coach is just not going to pay that.
You're not going to jump to a Power Five position coaching job.
He's never been a play caller. Like,
yeah, I can see this. This is the biggest Ole Miss game in years.
I do believe it. I'm trying to say since when.
Since when, Jeffrey? And what's, of course, interesting about these games is the games are only big because previous games. Like, if they lost to Arkansas, this wouldn't be the
correct.
Biggest game in a year. And had if they beat this, we'll win this week, and then when they lose, it won't be. But right
well,
now.
Had they not lost to Kentucky?
The way, right, had they, that's true. The loss to Kentucky makes this game bigger,
yes.
not smaller. Because, and are you totally clear, by the way, that if they win out, they're in?
Yes.
Because the odds aren't, like, are still whatever. When they
I think whatever. When they did the thing on Tuesday night, the video board where they...
Yeah, they do the hypotheticals.
They tried to do poor man's Kornacki.
Yeah.
If they won out, it was like 75%.
You think it's higher than that?
I was
surprised it was that low.
Correct.
You went out with a win over Georgia?
Yes.
I think you're in.
That would be 10-2. That would also be... Like, that's the other thing. Alabama, one of the teams that's ahead of you, Alabama or LSU, they're going to lose this week, and they're going to fall behind you. You still have A&M. A&M's got Texas at the end of the year. Like, they could fall behind you. But I think, really, if they win this game, I think they, like, you'll jump the Penn States of the world. Like, you'll have a better win than Penn State. So, 10-2 will get them in.
Okay, biggest game since?
So, of the games that I covered, it ended up not being a big game in 2015 when they lost to Arkansas for 4th-and-25. But, like, the result, like, they were still, they could have won the division if they win that game. Now, I always point out Hugh Freeze teams win, like, that next week when they went and blitzed Mississippi State, that's a different situation because his teams played tight in those games. I mean, there's an argument for biggest game since Katy Perry was in town in 2014. The problem is that game was so early in the season.
That was the Alabama win.
Yeah, it was so early in the season.
Right.
I think late season, this is the biggest game since 2003 when Eli LSU.
I was at that game. Stepped on a
Doug Buckle stepped on his foot.
Stepped on his foot.
And Les Binkley missed. Was it Les Binkley?
No. I don't want to throw Les Binkley.
No, it wasn't Les. It wasn't Les. Les was earlier. Jonathan Nichols missed. He won the Groza, but he missed two kicks.
Apologize to the Binkley family.
I'm very, very sorry, Binkleys. I did not mean to bring you into this.
All right. Ashton Jeanty is going to save the Cowboys next year. Or answer this one. A partial avulsion sounds painful.
100%.
A partial avulsion is what Dak Prescott has. And I laugh only out of pain because I'm squirming over here. He has a partial avulsion of the hamstring. And what that means, ladies and gentlemen, you can picture this on your Thanksgiving turkey, is that the hamstring has been torn off the bone. Ew. That hurt seems like it's going to hurt. I actually think, I mean, the Cowboys are clearly cooked, which is why, you know, trading for a wide receiver at the trade deadline was a little confusing, and everybody thought they overpaid, by the way.
Yeah.
Now, maybe it was the quarterbacking situation in Carolina that has made him look as unsuccessful as Mingo, as unsuccessful a second-round pick as he has looked, but they're just cooked. I actually think this isn't a bad reset year for the Cowboys now. You've got no Dak. They're going to make a coaching change, aren't they?
Yes.
They're going to get a running back. They're going to add Ashton Jeanty. There's a new mock draft out of the Athletic. Like, you look at mock drafts right now, they're all over the board. A lot of people have Shedeur Sanders going to the Raiders. Like, that's pops up a lot. But the most common thing you see in mock drafts is Ashton Jeanty to the Cowboys.
I can buy that. I still don't know if it fixes them, because I think a big problem that they have is their offensive line got old. Like, I don't think it's just the running backs. Now, an old offensive line with old running backs doesn't lend itself to a strong running game, but I don't know if Jeanty just solves all their problems.
No, of course he doesn't solve their problems. But I think he's going to be awesome immediately. And when you're a team that is, and when you have Parsons, CeeDee Lamb, Dak, once his hamstring has grown back or reattached, or whatever reattached, you're trying to win now. And so the objections to a running back, which is like, what do they do for you over the long haul? Who cares? Whatever. I love that for the Cowboys. And so it makes sense to me. And you'll have a high pick. You're going to have a high pick this year. A lot of teams in the high pick situation, but you're going to have a high pick this year. Okay. The Celtics fans were right to boo Steve Kerr last night. And the Clippers fans were right to boo Paul George last night.
Yeah. Both. I do believe that.
Both?
Number one, for the Celtics, you're standing up for your guy.
You're standing up for your man.
Like, that's the thing. You're standing up for your guy, and, like, do I think Kerr had unilateral power to play him? Probably not, but at the same time...
Listen, here's the thing. From the Kirk perspective, look at my medal. What? Look at the medal. Look at the color of the medal you're wearing. Like you can complain all you want, but the dudes he played were awesome.
Yeah.
And I mean,
you could also make the argument they should have won by more.
The dudes they played were awesome. So I don't. But do I object to Celtics fans getting? No, I think it's appropriate. I think it's appropriate. Now, Paul George was asked about being booed by Clippers fans, and what he said was, "It was stupid. It's stupid." And he went on to say, "Because I was a free agent." He said, "I played out my contract. I was a free agent. I asked for a. He was offered the same deal that Kawhi Leonard got." But they wouldn't put a no-trade clause in there, right?
Yep.
And so he wouldn't sign it, and so he went somewhere else as a free agent. So he said it was stupid for Clippers fans to boo him. But you think not stupid. You think appropriate for Clippers fans to boo him.
Yes, he left.
Yourself.
He left.
That's exactly right.
Like, players really do struggle with this. Like, this is, I think, one of the biggest misconceptions. It's like, you know what? We get to boo. That's why you get all of the money. The fact that we care is the reason why you get paid what you get paid.
100%. They look at it as they should.
As a business.
As a business.
Correct.
It is their living. They aren't attached to one team. Occasionally you'll get a player who is particularly attached to a team, but he doesn't care. I mean, he'd rather play in L.A. because he'd rather be in L.A., but he doesn't have any emotional attachment to one team or another. He's literally confused. I don't understand. I was a free agent. I could go wherever I want. Whatever. Yes. But to the Clipper fandom, you had a choice and you chose to leave. And for them, it is not a business. For them, it is emotional. And you had the choice to stay or go. And you decided to leave. Therefore, I resent you and therefore I boo you.
Yes. Period. End of story.
Period. End of story. I had no problem with that whatsoever. Oh, finally, biggest election turnout in years in Shelby County.
I'm going to say, I do believe that because you're bringing it up.
No.
Okay.
I bring it up purely for the opposite. I was kind of surprised this. Reading over at the Daily Memphian today, it was the lowest turnout in a presidential election in 56 years. Given how heated it all felt, isn't that a little surprising?
Except for me.
Here's the truth is, maybe nobody liked either of them particularly.
Yep. I think everybody was done with this.
It was since 1968 that we have had this low turnout. It was 55% of registered voters voted. In Shelby County, Kamala got 201,634 votes. Trump got 118,847 votes. That, according
to... Was that better or worse than...
The Daily Memphian. Was the spread... comparatively?
Yeah.
I
broke the rule.
You broke the rule.
I thought you had the...
Last one. You would like a Zach Edey bobblehead.
Yeah, I'll say that.
I would too.
Yeah.
It's really tall.
And I have all the other bobbleheads. So
no, yeah. There's a Zach Edey, according to the early word over at the Daily Memphian, the Grizzlies aren't putting this out. There is a bobblehead company that puts out a rookie series. And there's no Jalen Wells bobblehead, maybe an omission there. Maybe we should fire up the old Jalen, crank up the old bobblehead maker and come up with a Jalen Wells bobblehead. But there is a Zach Edey bobblehead available. And although I am not a great collector of sports memorabilia, I do enjoy a bobblehead.
Yep. I'm the same way. I don't have because John even said when he saw my house, he's like, I didn't realize, I thought you would be a memorabilia guy. I'm like, not really.
What do you have?
I don't really have much. I mean,
displayed?
As of right now, no, but we're still kind of, moving. Yeah, you know, we're in transition. We haven't gotten everything out, but yeah, I do not have a ton of stuff displayed.
I think I have they did a complete Grizzlies, they reproduced the first year Grizzlies set, I think it was.
Yep.
I have that, which I haven't taken out of the box, whatever. For some reason, I think the coolest thing I have is the D'Angelo car. The D'Angelo Heisman car. Are you familiar with it?
The NASCAR.
Yeah, the NASCAR. And I don't know. I like that. It's in a box. I got a Mike Tyson glove. But it's not Mike Tyson's glove. It's just...
No, I agree with you on the D'Angelo. The D'Angelo NASCAR.
They produced some ceremonial gloves for the Tyson Lewis fight. I have that. I have dirt from the FedEx Forum Big Dig.
Yeah.
I do sometimes wonder, because I think about downsizing. My house is too big now. So I think about downsizing. And I think about, what am I going to do with all this stuff? What am I going to do with all this stuff?
I've also never...
I don't have a lot of stuff, but what are you going to do with it? Well, I feel like I could...
It's in the end, it's dirt. I get it.
But even the car, So I die in, let's say, won't be for 40 years now. Let's say, but in 40 years, I kick the bucket.
Okay.
What's going to happen to my D'Angelo car? My kids don't need a D'Angelo car.
Unless it has some sentimental value for them, I agree with you.
What's the point? So why do I keep it?
Because it's tough to throw stuff out.
I got a
out.
Hushy All sign and a D'Angelo car and some dirt from FedEx Forum.
You might be
and
a hoarder. A
bobblehead collections. I'm not a hoarder.
Mm-hmm. Said every hoarder.